You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
I am JR. This is the JR Sport Brief Show, and I am coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current one, Rocket can. Happy Thursday. Hope you had a good one. If you didn't, let me try my best to make things a little bit better for you for the next 4 hours. This is when I get started, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Pacific. I'm being joined by super producer and host Dave Shepard, and more importantly, I'm being joined by each and every single one of you. Thank you to everyone listening on our many CBS Sports Radio affiliates, people tuning in on the free, that means it costs you nothing, the free Odyssey app, SiriusXM channel 158, and everybody locked in on a smart speaker. We got you covered from coast to coast. We got you covered from over the Pacific, and maybe even over the Atlantic. And much love to all my friends in Canada. Yeah, North America. We appreciate you. We got a lot to discuss tonight, no different than any other night. We had a lot of movement today in the sports world. Opened up the day this morning with Russell Wilson and the Denver Broncos coming to a new contract extension. Think about average money per year, per season. Russell Wilson is really only going to be behind Aaron Rodgers. At the same time, later on this afternoon, we found out that Donovan Mitchell, formerly of the Utah Jazz, he is finally been moved. Donovan Mitchell is on his way, not to the New York Knicks, but to the Cleveland Cavaliers. And so Donovan Mitchell, who is from New York, will not be going home. He'll be going to Cleveland, where he's going to join what is probably the best young roster in the NBA right now. And I know plenty of Knicks fans may not be happy or thrilled about that, but I'll explain why they should probably feel okay. It's not that damn bad that you didn't add Donovan Mitchell. And a matter of fact, to talk about it from a Cleveland perspective, we're going to talk to Chris Fedor, 92.3 The Fan, Cavs reporter for Cleveland.com. We'll talk to him, damn it, in about 20 minutes or so. I want to get his perspective. Cleveland sports, how about this? Well, whenever Deshaun does come back, that should be a reputable team. And then in the meantime, wow, the Cavs roster is ridiculous. Mobley, Garland, Jared Allen. I mean, they got two dudes. If they lift up their arms, they could reach both ends of the court. This is a wild roster, and so we'll talk about it. A Cavaliers team that should go back to the playoffs now that they have added Donovan Mitchell. And so we'll talk Russell Wilson. We'll talk about the implications that this would have or will have across the NFL. There's some other quarterbacks who are looking for some bread, looking for some money, namely Lamar Jackson. And then next season, Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow, they will be in line for big-time deals. And so the money continues to go up, 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 up. It must be good being a professional athlete. And so we'll get into it all. And before we do anything, super producer and host Dave Shepard. Shep, how are you this evening, man? What's up?
Doing well, JR. Thank you for asking. How are you, man? You got a four-day weekend apparently coming up, huh?
Yeah. I'm taking tomorrow off and minded my business on Monday. And so we will enjoy today on Thursday. And I will be back here with everyone on Tuesday night. But correct me if I'm wrong. You're going to be holding things down, no?
You would be correct, and Sunday, so it's going to be a three-for-all.
That's beautiful. What's better than two? Three.
Yes.
Everybody loves three. Name some great threes. Go ahead, Shep.
Starks, obviously, he comes to mind.
Oh, my God. That's the first number three that comes to your brain is John Starks?
I mean, I know there's a Yankee somewhere in there. DiMaggio, right?
Oh, my God. Babe Ruth.
Oh, Babe Ruth is three?
Yeah, Babe Ruth wore three.
Oh, that's right. This is why I don't host on The Fan. Thank you.
Yeah, Babe Ruth wore three. Allen Iverson wore 3. Who else? You said John Starks, which is pathetic.
Well, I mean, he was pretty good up until game 6.
And I like John Starks. I would never tell him what I just said, but I mean, yeah, that was, well, those are 2 big threes. Babe Ruth, Allen Iverson, and we can shuffle in John Starks somewhere in there. But yes, three days of Shep. I love it. Absolutely amazing. And then, oh yeah, by the way, we got legitimate, my apologies for everyone who played last weekend, we have legitimate college football action underway, even while we are having all these conversations about the expansion of the college football playoff, even though they've just changed some of the rules, that Kenny Pickett's slide has now been outlawed, and Pittsburgh, they're playing West Virginia right now. These two teams hate each other's guts, and Pittsburgh has kind of roared back to take a lead right now, 24-23 in the fourth quarter. And so we'll keep you updated as things go on, and Marco Belletti will certainly come through with updates. And so this is what it feels like when it is September 1st. It feels dirty to even say that. Today, tonight, it is Thursday, September 1st. We are a week away from the start of the NFL regular season Thursday night football. Depending on where you live, you're pretty much staring in the face of a couple of plants and big leaves and trees outside that will ultimately turn brown and die. And then we're going to start putting on, put on a hoodie, throw on a jacket, put on some pants. Depending on what you do, maybe you never put on pants. Who knows? But the weather is changing, and that means the NFL is here. That means college football is here. That means we're about a month or so away from the start of NBA basketball. The NHL, Major League Baseball, is going to be going into its playoffs a little more than a month from now. Time flies when you're having fun. I hope you had a good summer. And so we're going to sit down and we're going to watch every single thing that I just mentioned. Sports is big time. Let's think about this. The calendar here in the United States of America is pretty much predicated for almost half the year around the NFL. Think about that. The NFL dominates one whole day in the United States of America. The NFL, if you have to think about the programming that comes on television, 3/4, if not more, of every show or of everything broadcast on TV, the highest rated programs or programming is always the NFL. Church services are built around the NFL. Extracurricular activities are built around the NFL. Schedules, school, everything is built around the NFL. It's so ingrained in us, we don't even realize it. And so when you see folks like Russell Wilson getting a contract of $245 million, it's the type of thing that makes you go, damn. It makes you go, whoa. You know, a lot of people look at the money and they go, where are they getting all this money from to pay these players? Because it's so easy to look at, I don't know, a Kevin Durant last year getting a 4-year, $200 million extension. And before it even kicks in a couple of weeks, Kevin Durant already wants out. You start thinking about the numbers that get thrown around. It doesn't matter if you're an NFL player or an NBA player or a Major League Baseball player. The money is crazy. And why is the money crazy? Because we're watching. Because I'm talking about it. Because you're talking about it. Because you're listening to television, to radio, to your cell phone, to your tablet, to your computer. You pay attention to sports. Sports is one of the last things that you can actually watch that is appointment viewing. You know, last night we had a caller call up, and he sounded like a cartoon character. He sounded like Boomhauer from King of the Hill, if you remember Boomhauer. People aren't jumping to watch cartoons. People aren't jumping to sit down and watch The Simpsons like it was 30 years ago. People aren't sitting down to watch Oprah. People aren't running to the televisions to sit down and watch MASH or Seinfeld. People are streaming whatever they want, whenever they want it, for the most part. You can sit down and binge watch television shows. You can stream through thousands of services. Unfortunately, a lot of them you got to pay $10 and more for. But when it comes to sports, unless you're a real diehard, most people are going to watch it in that minute, in that second, and it holds value, a lot of value. And so today, Russell Wilson gets a contract, $245 million over 5 years. Deshaun Watson just got a contract, all of the money guaranteed, despite his legal issues, $230 million guaranteed. If we start thinking about other guys in sports, come on, Damian Lillard in 2026, when he is 36 years old, Damian Lillard will be making $63 million a year. Aaron Rodgers will be making 50 this upcoming season. What is this going to mean just across the board for somebody like Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert next year? What are they going to get? $55 million? Is that what we're looking at? Shohei Ohtani, Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. This man is throwing the ball. He's hitting the ball, and when he hits it, it goes far. What is he going to do, make 50? Max Scherzer is making 43. He's making more money than anybody in the game right now. Aaron Judge about to cash out. And it's crazy to think about the money that's given to superstars and athletes just across the board. Minimum salaries for NBA players are no longer in the few hundred thousand dollars. If you're on the roster, if you're on the team, man, you make in a couple of mil. Why? Because the money is there. It has to be split somehow, some way. It can't all just go to the owners. And let's think about this. This upcoming season, Aaron Rodgers is going to make $50 million. Russell Wilson, with his new contract extension, he's averaging out to $49 million a year. If I go back a little more than 20 years, how about in 1998? Steve Young, he was the highest paid dude. He made $10 million a year. If I have to think about this season, Major League Baseball, I just told you Max Scherzer is making more money than anybody this season at $43 million a year. How about in 1998 in Major League Baseball? Gary Sheffield was making 14. Yeah, there's a difference between 14 and 43. And in 1998, yeah, Michael Jordan was making 33. Then they decided to go into a lockout and put a stop to that. We see guys in the league right now making 40, 45, and $50 million a year. Luka Doncic, in his current contract, is on a 5-year, $215 million deal. Before Luka is 30 and gets to his next deal, what is he going to make? 70 a year? It wouldn't be a pipe dream. It certainly isn't. And so when you start hearing these numbers, when you start learning why they make this money, I think some of us won't complain too much. So Russell Wilson got paid today. New deal, $245 million. Lamar Jackson is going to get paid. Herbert will be paid. Burrow will be paid. I mean, damn it. In baseball, we have Juan Soto, who turned down $440 million. He said no. Aaron Judge, he turned down more than $200 million. And so these numbers are astronomical. But unless you and I stop watching, these numbers and these prices, these contracts, they will continue to go up and up and up. We're spending the money, whether you spend it tangibly or whether you spend it with your eyeballs, because that's where the value is. And that's why these dudes get paid so much money. It's crazy. Get ready for the numbers to go up. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. What we are going to do, we'll get into Russell Wilson and the details of his contract, what this means for the Broncos. What does this mean for Lamar? What does this mean for some of the other guys who want to get paid in the league? We'll talk about Russell and especially his leadership. It seems that being in Seattle, he's become a little bit of an afterthought. He's getting paid this money. And not to be a choir leader, he's going there to play football and hopefully lead the Broncos to a title. So we'll get into Russell Wilson. We'll talk more about Donovan Mitchell and the impact that it will have on the Knicks. But more importantly, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Chris Fedor, 92.3 The Fan, out of Cleveland. He also covers the Cavs for Cleveland.com. I want to get his thoughts on Donovan Mitchell being traded to the Cleveland Cavaliers. We're going to have that discussion on the other side. You are listening to the JR Sport Brief Show. We're just getting started right here, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. JR wants to hear from you. Call him now at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. This has been a busy day. Real busy. Russell Wilson starting off the day with his contract extension. And then the world of basketball, the world of the NBA got a little bit of a surprise this afternoon when we all learned that Donovan Mitchell would be traded not to the New York Knicks, but ultimately to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Colin Sexton and his recovering knee head out to Utah in addition to Lauri Markkanen. In addition, and this is what the Utah Jazz wanted, first-round picks. Three of them from the Cavaliers in addition to two pick swaps that will take place over the next 7 years. But the Cavaliers have one of the most dangerous and young lineups in the NBA right now with room to grow and room to compete. Garland now with Mitchell and Allen and Mobley and someone with experience like Kevin Love. They are on their way. To talk about it, right now we are being joined by Chris Fedor of 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. He also covers everything Cavs basketball for Cleveland.com. Chris, how are you, my man?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
I'm excellent. Thank you for taking the time to hop on. Your thoughts overall on this trade, especially the fact that it was pretty much sprung on all of us?
I think it was the right time, and it was for the right player. And it's not like the Cavs can go into like a superstar market and pick the exact guy that they want, right? You can only go by what the market has to offer you. So I don't know that it's an ideal stylistic fit, and there are some things that the Cavs have to figure out with Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell and ball handling responsibilities and whether that backcourt pairing can work on the defensive end. But this is the type of player that they didn't have on the roster. This is the kind of guy that can shift a 7-game playoff series. This is the kind of guy that can take pressure off of Darius Garland in a way that nobody was able to do at the end of last season for the Cavs. So I think when you have an opportunity to get this caliber player to make this talent upgrade, and the guy happens to fit your timeline, and you have some control of his contract for the next couple of years, I think it's an opportunity that the Cavs, coming off a 44-win season, JR, it's one that they couldn't pass up.
Yeah, Donovan Mitchell under contract now with the Cleveland Cavaliers until 2026, where he will make $37 million. How shocked were you when this deal came through, Chris?
I wasn't that shocked, honestly, JR. I know the Cavs and the Jazz, they had conversations at Summer League, and at that point in time, I'm told that the Cavs kind of walked away from those conversations saying, yeah, I don't think it's going to happen for us. The price is going to be too high. Other teams are going to be able to put together a better package than us. But the team that everybody expected to get Donovan Mitchell, the team best positioned to get Donovan Mitchell, the New York Knicks, decided that they were going to dawdle a little bit. And they thought that Utah didn't have any other promising offers that they would be willing to take. And the Cavs kind of lurked, and they kept in contact with the Utah Jazz, and the two sides talked about, like, what pieces are going to work. Colin Sexton, Oche Agbaji, how many unprotected picks. Like, all those conversations were going on in a private way. And when Kobe Altman, the president of basketball operations for the Cavs, decided to re-engage with the Jazz 2 weeks ago, it felt like to the Cavs that there was a path to actually getting something done, because the Knicks weren't going to offer everything that the Jazz wanted. So with the Knicks taking the approach that they did, JR, it created this path to the Cavs jumping in and giving Utah a good enough deal that they weren't going to sit and wait for the New York Knicks.
Absolutely. And we saw what took place this afternoon. Chris Fedor is joining us, 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland as well, Cavs reporter for Cleveland.com. You talked about the mix, the backcourt between Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell, two smaller guards. We know there are giants up front, long arms and limbs and levers with Jared Allen and Evan Mobley. Oh, Cavs fans, for the most part, have to be enthusiastic about this move. What's the ultimate vibe in the city when this took place this afternoon?
Yeah, there's excitement, no doubt about it, because I think the Cavs are now positioned to do some things that they probably weren't positioned to do a week ago, right? I think if we were having a conversation about the Cavs and their ceiling and the expectations for this coming season and where they fall in the Eastern Conference, I think the conversation is a lot different. And that conversation centers on, you know, how close are they to the Toronto Raptors and the Chicago Bulls and some of these other teams that are fighting to avoid the play-in tournament, right? Now the conversation is, how close are the Cavs to the Boston Celtics, the Miami Heat, Philadelphia 76ers, Brooklyn Nets, and the Milwaukee Bucks? And that's a legitimate conversation for them to have. It's not outlandish to think that they can avoid the play-in tournament. It's not outlandish to think that the ceiling of this team in the regular season is a top four seed in the Eastern Conference and home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs. So this is the kind of player, the talent that they were missing, that I think raises their ceiling when it comes to what they can accomplish both in the regular season, but also once they get into the postseason. Because, JR, if you think about it, last year, the Cavs got to the play-in tournament after a 44-win season, and they played against the Nets and the Hawks. And both those teams just threw everything that they could at Darius Garland, because they said, we got to slow him down, and if we slow him down, the Cavs are going to be a completely different team, and offensively, they're going to bog down. The Cavs didn't have enough playmaking, and they didn't have enough shot creation, and they didn't have enough scoring to take that burden off of Darius. Now they have somebody in Donovan Mitchell where if those two guys are playing together at the same time, like in most cases, they're each going to be the top name on the opposing scouting report. They can't anymore because they're sharing the court together, and it allows the Cavs to do some different things offensively that they simply couldn't do last year because they didn't have the personnel to do that.
Chris Fedor is here with us, representing for Cleveland.com and 92.3 The Fan. This is a squad in Cleveland, the Cavaliers in general, a team that we haven't seen in the playoffs, the legitimate playoffs, since LeBron James, since they lost in the finals. For every name that you just mentioned, between Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell figuring it out, Evan Mobley, he may also, it's expected for him to advance over the next years, few years, into being one of the best front court players in the league. He might end up being the best player on this squad. It's one thing to get to the playoffs. What do you feel are the realistic expectations for the Cavs to grow with this young roster and ultimately compete for a title?
See, that's the thing about it, JR. Because of the way that this roster is constructed, and their four most important and best players are all 25 years old or under, that means that they don't have to be, for this year, championship or bust, right? That means they don't have to have these high expectations like the Milwaukee Bucks or the Golden State Warriors, because eventually they're going to get into luxury tax hell, or eventually they're going to have to break things up that they have going here, or eventually one of these guys is going to hit free agency and they're not going to be able to pay them. They're not in that kind of situation. Down the road, you know, Donovan Mitchell's going to have a decision to make on whether he wants to stay with the Cavs, whether the organization is good enough, or whether he has starry eyes for a bigger market or something along those lines. But immediately, not only do the Cavs become better, but you feel like the contention window for this organization is going to be about 3 to 4 years, maybe even longer than that. So, yes, the expectations are much higher, and they have to be when you acquire a player like this and you give up everything that the Cavs gave up in order to get it done. But it doesn't have to be only for this year. You know what I mean? They can still, in a way, grow this thing organically and hope for internal improvements from some of their young guys, like you mentioned, beyond Evan Mobley, you know, Isaac Okoro, Darius Garland, Jared Allen. All those guys can continue to get better alongside one another. And I think that makes for what you think is going to be like the next half decade or something like that for the Cavs. And I agree with you, JR. I think there's no doubt about it that Evan Mobley has the ability to be the best of all these guys that we're talking about when it comes to the Cavs. I think Evan Mobley has the ability in the next 3 to 5 years to be a top five player in the game. That's how good he can be. That's how unique he is. And that's how impactful he is at both ends of the floor.
Well, Chris, you certainly know about everything going on in Cleveland. This has been a busy summer for Cleveland sports. The optimism, I guess, in the long range between both the Browns and the Cavs has to be collectively at probably the highest point that it's been in a very, very long time. What's the temperature in the city right now for the sports scene, especially ultimately we know whenever Deshaun returns?
Yeah, and I think you can throw the Guardians in there as well as the top team in the AL Central right now, and a team that has exceeded expectations on the baseball diamond. It's rare that you have three teams in a major sports city where there are legitimate expectations of playoffs and even beyond that. And it's not unrealistic either. You know, fandom is what it is, and you're going to say, the Browns are Super Bowl contenders, and the Cavs are NBA Finals contenders, and the Guardians can go to the World Series, because that's how fans are. But, I mean, if you look at the future of both these teams and the present of both these teams, and then you toss in the Guardians as well, you know, I can't remember a time, JR, where you had all three teams in this city with those kinds of expectations and that kind of talent level. It's a really, really exciting time for the city of Cleveland. There's no doubt about that. And the other thing on top of everything is all of these teams are building through the draft, and it's young teams that fans can grow along with. It's not like rent a team or buy a championship or something along those lines. You feel like these players that are here, the young players that are so important, are going to be here for a number of years, and you can buy the jerseys, right? You can buy the season tickets and not have to worry about whoever it is bolting.
Yeah, tell LeBron to stay his ass in Los Angeles. Yeah, new contract. Who needs LeBron when he's 43? Nobody. Let him stay in Los Angeles. Don't come back home.
I will say, though, JR, if there is one hole that the Cavs have, and this is not a perfect team, right? This is not Milwaukee. This is not Boston. They still have work to do with this roster. The one hole that they do have happens to be the one that that guy in Los Angeles occupies. Just saying.
Oh, so, yeah, give us 3 years and LeBron and his son, and then the next one will join the Cavs. And what a story that will be, isn't it?
That's a way to bookend the career, isn't it?
It'd be a hell of a way to go out. Chris, I appreciate you for taking the time to hop on, representing 92.3 The Fan, all our listeners in Cleveland, as well as Cleveland.com. Where can people keep up with you and follow you?
Yeah, I mean, Cleveland.com/Cavs. That's where all my stories appear on the website. And you can check me out on Twitter, too, because I put a bunch of stuff on Twitter. It's just my name, at Chris Fiedler. Nice and easy.
I appreciate you. Thank you, Chris, so much for taking the time to join us. Certainly, Cleveland sports has been at the forefront this year. There's been a lot of conversations in the NBA. People will not be able to avoid the Cavaliers as a part of the convo. And as he mentioned, yes, even the Guardians kind of moving in here over the next month, they aren't going to be a team that just rolls over and goes away. And so a lot of optimism in Cleveland right now. And thank you so much to Chris for joining us here. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. There's a lot of focus on the Cavs and what they've been able to do. I know there are a lot of Knicks fans. There are a lot of people in New York who are not happy that Donovan Mitchell is not going home. Let me tell you something. It's not the worst thing. I'll explain more and talk about this on the other side of the break. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
You're always on point, man. I could be having a rough day. I throw on your show and it just brightens the whole day up, man.
Call in now at 855-212-4CBS.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. What a busy day. Thank you oh so much again to Chris Fiedler, 92.3 The Fan. Also, writer and reporter for Cleveland.com for coming through and sharing with us just the enthusiasm and the details of Donovan Mitchell joining not the New York Knicks, but the Cleveland Cavaliers. Obviously, Chris is very in tune as to what's going on. He wasn't surprised that the move took place. I think most of us were, because all we heard ad nauseum was that the New York Knicks had the best draft haul to present to the Utah Jazz, that the New York Knicks had the best young players to present to the Utah Jazz. But the New York Knicks did not want to let go. They did not want to offer more than 2 first-round picks in addition to players. And here we are. If I was a Cavs fan, I'd be happy. I'd be thrilled. This is probably even a better situation and scenario for Donovan Mitchell than going to the New York Knicks. If he were to be acquired, yes, he would be back home in New York City. Yes, he would be adored and loved. But the Knicks still have so many spots to fill. They have a black hole who still exists in Julius Randle. Yes, they were able to bring in a Jalen Brunson. We have no idea whether or not R.J. Barrett or even Quentin Grimes would have still been a member of the Knicks squad. These Cavaliers are stacked. And especially when you think about 2 smaller guards defending some of these big guards, having Jared Allen and Evan Mobley protecting the hoop both close to the basket and away, this is an ideal situation. Every night he's not going to be tasked or asked with being the man, but I certainly expect him to embrace it. Donovan Mitchell is going to turn 26. It's kind of crazy to think that that's already staring him in the face in a couple of days. But this is going to be a fun roster to watch. It's not perfect. They have room to grow. They'll go to the playoffs this year, all things considered, if everyone stays healthy, and they'll start to make noise. But I'd really be excited over the next several years as they maintain this young roster, as they still have young assets if they ever want to flip someone for a veteran. This is a beautiful thing. And to be a Cavs fan, I mean, I would absolutely be thrilled knowing that this isn't a LeBron James stick-us-up rental situation. You actually have a whole squad, a whole team that you can look forward to, as Chris had mentioned. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. I'm going to take your calls. We're going to get into the impact that this has on the New York Knicks later on in the show. And at the top of the hour, we'll talk about Russell Wilson. Ramon is calling from Indianapolis. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Ramon?
Hey, how you doing, Jeff? Thanks for my call. I really appreciate it. As a born and raised resident of Gary, Indiana, and one of Darius Garland's father, Winston Garland, sponsored our baseball team back in the day, I couldn't be happier for him. I think it's going to really help him flourish. I think Donovan will help give him space. I think Cleveland, it was right there. You know, you got a hodgepodge in the East. I think Milwaukee, once Middleton come back, could still be dominant. You know, don't forget Caris LeVert is there. I hope he's still there. And so I really like that for them. I think that's a great upshot for them. I really think he's going to flourish. Good old Indiana boy. I know they moved to Nashville when he was about 12, but they were back in Gary last month doing a big camp, and they had a long piece about him in the Post Tribune. And so we're really happy for him. I look forward to them doing good things. I couldn't be more happy. And Donovan ought to be happy. He ought to be happy. He really gets going there and ball and don't have to worry about a really terrible media against him. You know what I'm saying? So that should work out real good. I'm really happy for them.
No doubt about it. Thank you, Ramon, for calling from Indianapolis. And yeah, the media much different in Cleveland than it is in New York. He would have gone home to New York, but all things considered, would it have worked out? Would it be a pain in the ass? How long would it take for Donovan to have to answer questions about a cantankerous Julius Randle? How long would it take before the New York Knicks shot themselves in the foot? And so, yes, if he went to the Knicks, they were still going to have to be additional moves made to move them into contention. For the Cavaliers, all their players have to do is get better. And even as they get better, they could be in turn flipped for older veteran pieces that might get them over the hump. Now, I'm thinking 2-3 years, 2 seasons down the line, but what they have right now is anything that every team would want. If you are a team like the Orlando Magic, you will ultimately aspire to do and be what the Cavaliers have right now. Those draft picks, man, they ain't much of nothing. Because they've all paid out here, played out, and they're paying off for the Cavs. They really are. A Garland, the Mobley, being able to trade for Allen. This is cool. They're going to be a fun team to watch. They're one of my league pass teams, and I can't say that. How often can anybody wake up and say, are the Cavs on? And not because of LeBron. We're moving into a different space in a different time. And Shep, what are your thoughts specifically about the Cavaliers?
To me, you have Donovan Mitchell, who is an assassin. And had he been healthy 2 years ago, the Jazz are advancing to the NBA Finals, in my opinion. You are getting the best player you have had since LeBron James, and it's not even close. This is a win-win for both teams because they were fed up with Donovan. They're fed up with Rudy. And if JR, you said it. The only knock against this is the height disadvantage that you're getting in that backcourt defensively. But other than that, you're getting an individual that takes ultimate accountability of when he F's up, and you know he plays his best deep into the playoffs. We saw that with Donovan even as a rookie. This is win-win for Cleveland all the way.
Yeah, Donovan just lighting it up in the playoffs as a rookie coming in was pretty amazing to see. The only knock that there may be on his game outside of his size, he's not aggressive on defense, and his efficiency is not the best. In New York, that would have been exacerbated. I guess I can't be surprised Knicks fans want stars. They want a star. They want to see the team improve. But the New York Knicks will probably be better in the long run holding on to some of their assets. And Donovan Mitchell, if he were to have joined the Knicks, a lot of his deficiencies as being the guy, there would have been exciting moments. There would have been dunks and three-point shots and streaks where he goes off for 10 points. And there would have also been some moments where he's clanking out there. And going to a better team or younger team equipped to actually go and grow, this is an ideal situation, not just for Donovan, but for the Cleveland Cavaliers as well. And yeah, they should go to the playoffs. They should be competitive in that first round. We shouldn't have to think about a play-in scenario for these Cavaliers. And how about this? I think it's going to be a few years that we talk about the Cleveland Cavaliers and not talk about LeBron James. Even though Chris and I had that joke about, you know, maybe when things are done in L.A., maybe LeBron decides to finish things at home. Never say never. They say you can always go back home. That's what they say, at least. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. We're going to get ready to take a break. And we're not going to talk about going home. We're going to talk about someone else who was traded this year. And he just got major money. He's not going anywhere. He'll probably end his career in Denver. It's Russell Wilson. He got pizzayed. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here, CBS Sports Radio.